Muy buenos días, un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín y a todos los ministros, hermanos y hermanas.
Good morning. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and to all the ministers, brothers and sisters who are gathered today, Sunday, July 6th of this year 2025, who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in different countries. Our subject for today is God performing His Word for today, preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on September 11, 2013, in Buenos Aires, Argentina. He's read to us the scripture of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and on, where it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. God performing His word for today. For those present here and those that are connected in different countries, you may please be seated. And warm greetings also to all the brothers and sisters there in Calle, Puerto Rico. May God bless you greatly. It tells us in the message, ministers with their congregations, working as God fellow laborers in the divine program, preached on July 3rd, 2010 in Bogota, Colombia, Dr. William Soto says, and now, we find that the Temple of Jerusalem, built by King Solomon, was also destroyed, and it was restored later on. The divine project for the time in which the temple had to be restored, what was the main project, the greatest one? The rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. At that time, there were some neighbors of Israel, and even among the people of Israel themselves, who rose against that divine project. And those who had returned to Israel said, It is not time yet. It's true that a restoration has been promised, but it's not time yet. Now notice, this was in 2010. And back then, it was already the struggle, the battle was increasing. Like what happened here, in what Dr. William Soto is telling us. For us in Puerto Rico, for the construction of the Great 10th Cathedral, it had been and was a time in which there was also a struggle. He says, but it was time. The time for the restoration of Israel and of the temple had come, because it was time for the beginning of the 70 weeks given by the Archangel Gabriel, the Angel Gabriel, to the ruler and prophet Moses, ruler of the providence of Babylon. That is, it's Daniel, there. And therefore, Jerusalem and the temple, the walls, the ramparts, and everything had to be restored. There were enemies who were against that project. It was a divine project, and even among the Hebrew people themselves, There were people who received money. They were what? Bribed with money. Now, in every time, there are moments when this happens, and in our time as well, where people come to bribe the rest to gain leverage. But that, they think that God doesn't see all that. Yet God sees all that, which if it was wrong before, in the eyes of God, it is the same today. They think they are doing it in a secret, bribing people to do wrong and try to get away with it. God is seeing all that. Don't think you can get away with it. Bribed with money, they twisted the right and the blessing that God had for the people. But who was the one that prayed? It was Nehemiah. And he said, praying to God, remember what those people have done. That is, I put them in your hands. Don't forgive them. In other words, that was already a sentence. And what the prophet said, they could say, oh, nothing had happened to us, don't worry. But Nehemiah had already spoken it. And notice what happened. Later on, that word was fulfilled. God did not forgive them. If you read, you will find those things. And in other words, I'm telling you, as we say it here in our terms, and they tried to scare Nehemiah, but he didn't get scared. He was not afraid. He continued on with the divine program, the divine project. In the message, Works is Faith Expressed, on page 44, it tells us, and in the invisible union of the church, the bride to Christ, that messenger is here now, which is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There he draws the Star of David to the right. And in the invisible union of the church, the bride to Christ. Now he only speaks through his prophets. The Bible said so. He never does anything, but first he makes it known to his prophets. He had Nehemiah there to carry out that work. Well, he had to use the means he has always used, a prophet. There he draws the Star of David on the right. And on the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone, because he had done that from age to age and from dispensation to dispensation. But first he makes it known to his prophets. The Bible said so. He never does anything, but first he makes it known to his prophets, Amos 3:7. He always has done it. He never changed his pattern, see? And the prophet can only speak if he is true what God tells him. Is that right? That's true. And there he writes, God only speaks through prophet. And he writes several scriptures there. But now, in the back he writes, let us see, there is a writing here regarding that page. He writes, God never changes. He writes, design and on top patterns. He always works the same way. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, and God said through Haggai, you say, it's not time yet, but it is time for you to have good houses, right? But for my house, the house of God, the temple, which lies in ruins, for that you say it's not time yet. Go to the mountain, cut timber, cut wood, and get to work on the house. Spiritually lazy people, people who thought about their goods and didn't think about the good of the people. They did not think about the blessing of God. God awoke the spirit of Zerubbabel, of Joshua, and of the people to work in the work. When the spirit of the leaders that God will use and of the people is awakened, the work of God promised for the time in which they are living is carried out. In this same message on page 16 of the message Works is Faith Express, there he tells us, The Reverend William Branham says, like my little eagle last night. He knew when he heard that scream. And he writes, the Holy Spirit in, that is, the Holy Spirit, well, in the prophet that God sends for that age or dispensation. That scream of that mother eagle. And here on mother eagle, he writes, Moses and Elijah. Elijah and Moses. In other words, in the age of the cornerstone, the eagles, the little eagles, would hear that scream. Of who? Of the Holy Spirit in that instrument, in whom the Holy Spirit would be appearing in the ministry of Elijah and Moses. He knew when he heard that scream of that mother eagle. There is a lot of difference between that and the cluck of the hen, see? Because he was an eagle from the egg. He wasn't made an eagle right then, he always was an eagle. And a Christian always was. See, what we read and spoke about yesterday, where he said that he foreordained them before the foundation of the world to belong to the most holy place. It's not that now at this time, well, now I'm going to put these people here. No, God has already predestinated them before the foundation of the world. Even those who receive the crowns that are taken off or taken away, because he says, hold fast to your crown so that no one takes your crown. Because notice, these crowns are not lost. It is because they never belong to them. We could say they borrow it for a bit. For example, the one of Judas Iscariot. He had the ministry of an apostle, which became that ministry that the Holy Spirit was going to carry out in St. Paul. See? It was not his. And a Christian always was. That's the reason the divorce, when you're divorced, because you were trapped into it, see, by your first parents, Adam and Eve. You become a sinner by nature. You didn't want to be, but now you heard the gospel, and faith cometh by hearing. Revelation comes by hearing. There's a little something inside of you. There he writes, faith equals revelation, comes by hearing. Another man sitting right by you say, oh, I don't believe that stuff. Nonsense. I don't believe that. Nothing to that. Nothing to that. Like they did on the day of Pentecost. They laughed and said, these men are full of new wine. They knew it was three dots. It was a great thing to those it was happening to. As it is to us. What is happening to us is a great thing. And you see many laughing out there. Some mocking and laughing. But whoever is receiving what we are receiving is rejoicing. We are rejoicing from everything that God is carrying out. That's what happened there on that day. It was a great thing to those it was happening to. Why? It was God revealing himself to the individuals. While others laughed, these were rejoicing. It was an individual revelation, which is faith. Now notice there is a writing here where he writes, on the back as well, he writes, God revealing himself to the individual. They rejoice while the others laugh. And above that sentence there he writes, it was a great thing to those who it was happening to. Faith that's revealed. If it wasn't faith, then they wouldn't even be there. It was faith. Just seed has to have the ground prepared first. Therefore, as he foreknew, he called. And he called all he foreknew, he predestinated. If you want to read that, Romans 8:28-34. And also Ephesians 1:1-5. See, all he foreknew, he did call. And he called, he justified. And all he justified, he has already glorified. On the left, he had written upward the holy convocation today, the upper room. There is nothing out of order. We think there is, but look in the scriptures. It's just hitting exactly the way God's word said it would. We see the message is rejected today. Isn't that just what the scripture said they would do? Sure, all these things are ordained of God. Oh, we should make you walk happy. That's the trouble with we today. So much difference from the Christians of old. When the real, true revelation of Jesus Christ being Emmanuel dwelt in the hearts of those men, they were rugged people. But today we're padded by denominations with, oh, I tell you, they ain't got the revelation. You come over here. You're depending on their revelation. If their revelation isn't according to the word of God, then it's wrong. Mine or anybody else's. That's where the showdown comes. The word of God tells which is right and wrong. There on the right upward he writes, the word vindicates the right revelation. The word vindicates the right revelation. Notice on page 150 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1342, there it tells us, many sincere persons go join an organization or a group or a cult of some sort, and there they die spiritually. You can't tell them nothing. They get that stuff drilled into them. Why, this bishop said this, and this said this, and said this. You show them right here in the Word of God, where it's, thus saith the Lord. But our pastor, I don't care what your pastor says. Don't care what I say, or anybody else says. If it's contrary to God's vindicated Word, the hour, the time, and there he draws a cornerstone of the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And he writes, the vindicated word. The hour, the time, the message, and so forth. And of course, the messenger. Forget it. Stay away from it. And there he writes, if it is contrary to the vindicated word of the hour, and the time, and the message, forget it. Now he goes on to say here, any seed has to have its ground, of course. Therefore, all he foreknew, see, he already knew what was going to happen. Notice, Jesus said again about the seed. Some fell on rocks, others in mixed grounds. See, over where there's thorns, thistles, and everything else, it couldn't grow. And others on good ground, good soil, which had been prepared, already prepared. And he writes, the ground equals the individuals. Notice, those people already came foreordained by God, elected of God before the foundation of the world, to bring forth fruit a hundredfold. All the men out here, he's like a chicken. He's looking along, trying to find. He hits into this and hits into that. But after a while, there comes a sudden scream from heaven. Revelation 4. He recognized it right quick. That's the word of God. See? He knows it because there is something in his heart that's being told to him, revealed to him about it. And there he writes, the eagles, the chickens, the cry. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here in this message, ministers with their congregations, working as God's fellow laborers in the divine program, he says, when a person or a group says, it is not time yet, what they're trying to do won't prosper. They won't have the resources. They won't have the money. Notice, he's already there speaking practically about what they were living at that time. Because there were people who were saying things like that, working like that. There's a message where he said, around 2010 as well, that he had to find a way around it because it wasn't going to cause trouble with those people. Instead, he kept them busy so that they wouldn't get in the way. They won't have the resources, they won't have the money, they won't get the permits. Remember when they would say that they will not get the permits? A difficult struggle was being lived right then. And look, what he said, perhaps many did not understand what was happening at that time. Those things were not spoken. But now, since everything is built, we can talk a bit more about how at that time there was a great struggle. Even with the very people from right there in the place where it was built, and from outside as well. But he always told me, keep going on. I'll take care of those people. They will not get the permits. They won't have this. Presenting everything as something negative so that the people believe something negative and that something negative is fulfilled. Because that's always the enemy's intention. Because it will be done according to your faith. Those people will have serious troubles before God because instead of encouraging the people to believe what God promised, they try to discourage the people so that they do nothing, so that the people do nothing and the word, the divine promise, is not fulfilled. In the message, God's only provided place of worship on page 36, it tells us. Page 36, Moses was in him, Joshua was in him, and if you are in him, you was in him before the foundation of the world, the family of God. You suffered with him, you died with him, you went to the cross with him, you raised with him, and now you're still with him, sitting in heavenly places, reflecting the message of the age to the world, the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. But if it's hid by a denominational bushel basket, how are they going to see it? For your traditions, you make the light of no effect. By trying you denominationals, trying to keep the light away from your church, you won't go in, neither will you let them. And here he also writes on the back, or on the front, here on the front he writes, you won't go in, nor let anyone else go in. To top it off, well, if you don't believe and you don't want to continue, then let the people go on. But then they would lose other things then. Now he goes on to say, those people from the message I'm reading from Dr. William Soto, those people will not have the blessing of God, but rather the divine judgment. That is how it's been in the past, and that is how it will be in the present. Never let anyone discourage you. Work in the program that God said must be carried out, and God will bless you. He will use you. He will have you as His helper working in His work. Chapter 15, verse 58 of 1 Corinthians says that for your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He will reward every man according to what? His works. Everyone who works in the divine program, like Paul who said, we are laborers together with God. So every fellow laborer of God will be blessed by God in our time and in the kingdom of the Messiah. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Therefore, we must know what is the labor, the work that God desires to carry out in our time, and work in that labor, in that work, so that what God has promised becomes a reality. To have a clearer picture of what we are talking about, let us read some words that were spoken by the Spirit of God through the Reverend William Branham. Page 171 of the Book of the Seven Church Ages, And in Spanish is page 187 with the book that ends in page 433. But in English, page 171 says, now he's reading from the book of the ages, which we mentioned this portion in yesterday's study. From a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ with a beloved bride. She is a virgin of his word. She is a virgin because she knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. By and through the members of the bride will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. And Brother William says, what God promised his church bride will be fulfilled through whom? Well, through herself. She will work in the divine project of what God has promised he will do in her midst. And now, let us leave this here. You read that at home. I always recommend the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, the book of the seven church ages, the book of the seven seals, and also the book of quotations of the messages of the Reverend William Branham and all the other messages. They are a great blessing to all who read them because they are the words that the Holy Spirit spoke through the Reverend William Branham, who is the forerunner of the second coming of Christ. And as the Holy Spirit said that the coming of the Lord will be at the last day through the Reverend William Branham, that is how it will be. That will be the platform, the foundation for the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord. In other words, we will have a clear reference of what the coming of the Lord will be at the last day. Now notice how he is placing the message of Brother Branham as the foundation so that the brethren at this end time know and don't overlook what God is carrying out, which is what the Reverend William Branham foreshadowed. That is why in the countries that still don't have that resource, or where they haven't printed for the brethren these books that I mentioned, and even all of the rest, it's good for you to have them with time. And in that way, you can review them at home and also have them in the Bible studies so that you can see everything that the Reverend William Branham spoke with regards or in regard to what the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord would be. On page 119, paragraph 1058, there he speaks to us in that portion about the platform that he was setting up for the Lord. Page 119, paragraph 1058, there he tells us about that platform that he was building. And notice there at the top he writes, building a platform for the Lord in his second coming. And in another message he said, I'm building a platform for my Lord. Now he goes on to say, at the end time or last day, we also have the promise of the manifestation of the third pool, where the power of God in all of its fullness will be manifested and great things will happen in the midst of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the third pool is for the church bride of the Lord. It is also for the foolish virgins and it's also for the world, for the lost. And therefore, it will also be for the Hebrew people. And the third pool will be manifested in all of its fullness when the squeeze comes. And it will be manifested in the great tenth cathedral. And he also said that on page 119, but in the previous paragraph 1057, where he tells us that that third pool would be for the lost, but it will be for the church. In other words, for the foolish and the bride. And therefore, the 144,000. And Christ's helpmate, which is the church bride, will be working on this whole divine project. When you see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ working on that project, remember, the manifestation of the third pool is very close. The manifestation of God in all of its fullness is very close. And therefore, the faith to be transformed is very closed. In the same message that we are reading of Works is Faith Expressed, on page, let us see here, on page 23, and perhaps a little more, but on page 23 it says, notice Mary, now Lord, wait a minute, you know, I never knew a man, this is impossible, nothing like this never happened, oh no, nothing like this never happened, how am I going to have this baby, I don't know any man, so it can't happen. Oh, angel, you're just mistaken. I've got an optical illusion. You know, my church says, these days are gone. Nah, it would never have fallen in such a place as that. Mary never questioned. She said, how can it be? I know no man. He said, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. That's how it's going to happen. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. No questions. There he writes, Mary, and he draws a Star of David, and a cornerstone and the ages. See, that's how also the Mary is, which is the church at this end time. Now he continues to say, even more, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be identified by the work of faith, that she will be carried out according to what has been promised. Same thing that happened with Mary. Now, that rapturing faith, he told us that it would be given in a great tent cathedral, in some words of greetings, which was to pastors on March 26, 2011 in Cali, Colombia. There he told us, but the enemy of God will try to prevent the tent vision from being fulfilled, because there is where the thunders uttered their voices, making known his message. Where would the rapturing faith be made known? And where would the thunders be given that rapturing faith? In the fulfillment of the tenth vision, which is what the church bride has at this end time, and at this time has as a physical project to carry out, for God to then be the one working in that place. Our part is to have a place for Him, and we already have it for Him. And God's part, His presence, and we already have it as well. Because there is where the thunders uttered their voices, making known His message, and they revealed the entire mystery of God, the mystery of the new name as well. They give the church of the Lord Jesus Christ the faith for the rapture, and we will be transformed when the dead in Christ resurrect. And then we will be here for a short time, 30 to 40 days, already in the new body, to go with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The resurrection take place. When we see them, we will be transformed. 30 to 40 days, and let's get out of here. And the rapture to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now notice that it is not a time so that when they come to then get the rapturing faith. That is already being carried out. And by that time, the elect of God will have it all completely in order to be able to see them. Now he keeps saying, why won't others be doing that work? Because they do not believe it. And they instead give it a spiritual application to do nothing. Only those who believe and are the ones who would be doing that work are the ones we will see working on that labor. And no one will discourage them. And we can say what Nehemiah said, right? Lord, you remember those that tried to discourage the people? In other words, not only the prophet messenger, but also the people. They will also be able to say that. Lord, remember those who tried to discourage the people so that it wouldn't be to not do, so they wouldn't do the work, the labor. They will be remembered. Just as our labor is not in vain in the Lord, because Christ will reward everyone according to his works. Likewise, the discouragers will be rewarded with what corresponds to them. In the message, three kinds of believers, The Reverend William Branham tells us here on page 26, notice he says, the unbeliever fills up in a minute, and he can't stay to listen 10 minutes of the message. He's got to get up and walk out. It's against his creed, and he just won't have no more to do with it. So he goes out. Then the make-believer hangs right on like Judas. See, that's the deceiver. That's the rascal. If I have to say such a word, Judas, he hangs around. This is the time, sometime, these make-believers are very popular with the people. That's right. These make-believers, see, some of them are mighty men, educated, doctor's degree, big pay, everything. Some of them are great men, shrewd, just like sons of Satan would be. Look how Satan came right up there and agree with every bit of that word. He just waiting to find that weak spot in Eve, to where he could show his power to deceive her, to betray her. That was Satan. There on the left he writes, characteristics of the Judases. And here Satan is in the form of Judas in that age. That was Satan in the first age. What was he? Agreeing with the word till just one little thing. He's trying to find a place where he get a weakness. Always trying to find a weakness point in what Jesus was doing. And that's exactly what the Judas finds right now. He comes right along with the meeting. That is why sometimes I said, why do they come? But now you see why. They have a job to do. And we could say, as he told us, well, did you want to do that work? No, no. Oh, well then, let them do that work. And they are going to and are doing a super well work. They're doing it very well. In other words, they are earning what they will receive. And that's exactly what the Judas finds right now. He'll come right along with the meeting and watch right around until he can find that little spot that he, oh, there it is, see? Because right away it's to find faults and mistakes. That's it, see? Oh, that's the way it's done, see? That's just exactly. Many of you remember up there that night when that man came out on the platform. He thought that there was a mental telepathy of reading the prayer cards and how he thought he had it right then. Brother, he was sure he had it. And he come around. He belonged to a church that don't believe in the gospel, the full gospel. And he come up on the platform. Now this, it's possible and very likely that there are people, since those spirits linger around, they might possibly do the same thing to try to tempt. But notice, God is the one who discerns the thoughts and intents, and the reward for those people will be the same thing that happened to this person. Notice. And he came up on the platform, I was tired. In other words, Brother Branham was already worn out. That is, tired after helping so many people. And he came up on the platform. I was tired. They was fixing to take me away. That was at Windsor, Ontario. In Canada, I remember that he showed the first and second pools publicly. Notice there the angel told him, you stood on the platform, you made a public show of these divine gifts, and look at what you've done, a bunch of impersonators. Now in the third stage, which is the third pool, he is then shown, the angel shows him that it isn't a little wooden room. Now he says, that was at Windsor, Ontario, in there come right across from the United States, there, right across from Detroit, at Windsor, the big auditorium. And this man come up there with a gray suit on and a red tie. He described him. Intelligent looking man, smart as a tack. He come to the platform, he walked up, I said, well, just let me have your hand. That is, he greeted him. I said, I'm tired, I've seen so many visions. Just let me have your hand. and I never noticed the man. And he put his hand over on mine. I said, sir, there is nothing wrong with you. Go ahead. In other words, it was, let me have your hand. He goes, go ahead. It was the Holy Spirit. He was the one working there. Same as in Peter's time. He said, oh, there is two. And I said, well, let me see there. I said, no, sir, there is not one sign. No, sir, you're a healthy man. He was completely healthy. He said, go, look at my prayer card. I said, I don't care. Notice the mercy of God. I don't care what you put on your prayer card. I said, I don't have nothing to do with the prayer cards. Not thinking, you see. I was tired and wore out. And my, but the grace of God, you see, was still there. And that is what God is still extending today. And they don't realize that the mercy of God is still being extended. And you still see that they continue with the same thing. Later on, they can't say, they didn't tell me anything. Cases from the Bible are read to them. Cases from Brother Branham are read to them, and they are told the opportunity that God has given them, and they continue the same way, or worse. But the grace of God, you see, was still there. You remember, if He sends you, it's His obligation to take care of you. And there he writes, if God sends you, it's His obligation to take care of you. And on the right, notice what he writes there. The minister who tempted God. It wasn't to Brother Branham. They think it's to the man. It ain't mine. It's him. He sent it. I'm just supposed to stand on what's true. When Moses threw his stick down, he turned into a serpent. And the magicians done the same thing. What could Moses do but stand there and wait for the grace of God? That's all. Same thing. He followed out the commandments. The prophet fulfills what God commands him. Even if circumstances are contrary. Even if there are mockers, people who criticize, blaspheme, and everything. God sends that prophet to do the work. God will be in charge of vindicating it. And God will always take care of that prophet. And you know what happened, don't you, see? In Moses' case. Now, he's talking about the man's case. This man said, to top it off, he was disrespectful. Now he said, there is, look at my prayer card. I said, well, you might have had a lot of faith and might have done it. Again, he still goes on. Not thinking, you see, I done. Not even paying attention. Then he unbuttons his coat and pushed out his chest. He said, there you are, to the audience. And I thought, what's going on here? Since he was tired, he wasn't realizing it. Although the Holy Spirit was at work, his human side didn't realize what was happening. He looked around. He said, there you are, said, see the gimmick? That's your Judas. And he writes there, a Judas. He already identified that person as a Judas. That's your Judas, religious man, a preacher of a great denomination, said, there you are. I had so much faith. Now, he's got so weak, he can't read the telepathy. See, it don't come to him no more. And there he said, it's not my faith was so great, said, I put that on my prayer card and now he can't catch it. You see, said, that's the gimmick. And I thought, what's going on? Then the grace of God came down. I said, sir, why has the devil put in your heart to try to deceive God? a modern Judas. See, the modern Judases. I said, oh then, because when the grace is taken away, what comes then is judgment. And that is a type and figure of what the third pool is like. He said that the days of Ananias and Sapphira would return. I said, and he begins to discern here. You're a Church of Christ preacher. You belong to the Church of Christ from over in the United States. And that man sitting up there with a blue suit on, and your wife and his wife sitting there, you sat at the table last night that had a green thing over it, a spread like this, and you made up that this was telepathy, and you were coming tonight. He told him everything they did the night before, that they had met, and seemingly they kept it to themselves. In other words, what do people think? It makes you feel like just what are people thinking? The God isn't going to see when they shut themselves in a room or even when they think something? God will not see this, what I'm planning to do to this man, and intentionally, and let's do this or speak with someone else. Let's go to such and such a place and let's do this, this and this. What do people think? That God doesn't see it? But notice, such is the spirit of the devil. It does not care about the divine program. What they do is fulfill the works of the devil. That man, the one that he pointed to, who was there in the audience, the man raised up, he said, that's the honest truth. God have mercy on me. In other words, look, right away, that person, asked for mercy. Now, here Brother Branham says to the other person, I said, sir, you put TB and cancer on that card. And now you have it. It's yours now. And he grabbed me by the pants leg. He said, I didn't. I said, I can't help. And that's how it will be with all those people who have been given the opportunity to repent. And to see that this is not a game, this is not a joke. They can grab on the pants leg, they can scream, they can cry out, but the prayers will be done too late. I said, I can't help. You go right ahead. That's up between you and God. You wrote your doom right on your card. And that got him. That was all of it. See? Make believers, deceivers, trying to find some fault with God and His Word. That's the Judases. That's the ones. You see how Judas come out? See how that guy come out? That's the way the make-believers happen. See, make-believers, all highly educated, sometimes, and a great showdown come between the Word and their creed. And when it does, they sell out to their denomination, just exactly like their forerunner did, Judas. Judas sold out to his denomination, sold Jesus, the Word, to his denomination, and betrayed Jesus Christ after he claimed to be a part of it. And look, there he writes, they betray and sell the Word. Ministers sometimes claiming to be servants of Christ, and when the Word is truly identified to be vindicated for that day, that it is the message of the hour, and they sell out their for popularity to their denomination, just exactly like Judas did, betrayed Jesus to the Pharisees and Sadducees. That spirit don't die. See what we just said? That spirit doesn't die. So there, that's amongst the believers, make believers and unbelievers. See, that's just a sack. Come right down and sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And many men will do it today for a meal ticket for an extra $100 a week, right? Deny the God that's standing in the midst of them. that bought their life and with the full word. Now, this last page, 28, 29 and 30, you can read it later on, because it gives us a very great teaching, especially about what that make-believer is, who is the most dangerous one. Now, our brother William continues to say here, we are in the message, ministers with their congregations, working as God's fellow laborers in the divine program. And remember that in the third pool, the time will come when Christ will be as judge. Therefore, the matter of Ananias and Sapphira will be repeated. See what we said. A time is coming when all that will be repeated. And remember that in the time of the apostles, judgment would come upon some bothersome people, upon some liars, upon some people who rose up against God, against some people who contradicted what was being taught. For example, in the case of Paul, on one occasion there was a person who contradicted, and Paul cursed him, telling him that he would not see the light of the sun. And he went blind, as simple as that. That is in the book of the Acts. And even two liars, Ananias and Sapphira, who were of the group of the church, because they lied, the judgment of the Holy Spirit came through Peter. And Peter said, you did not lie, you have not lied to men, but to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the one in Peter speaking with Sapphira. And then Ananias the wife came. Sapphira is the wife. Ananias is the one that died first, and then Sapphira comes, perhaps looking for her husband. And he says, the Bible says that it was about 3 hours later, looking for her husband, and then she begins to ask Peter. And then Peter begins to ask her, oh, you sold the property. Yes, 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 we sold it. And you put all of it in the work of the Lord? Yes, all of it, 100%. See, they were lying. And then he said to her, here they come, those who have just taken your husband who died. They are coming for you, and she died also. Remember that Paul and Peter are the main apostles of that time. Peter and Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles. They brought it from the Jews to the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius, who was a Gentile, and Paul to Asia Minor to the Gentiles. And just as the Jews brought the gospel to the Gentiles, Peter and Paul, the Gentiles will take it to the Jews. That is in the book of the Ages on page 36. And now, how did the Jews bring it? Well, through the ministries of Peter and Paul. And how will the Gentiles take it to the Jews? Through the ministry of the two olive trees, because Peter and Paul represent Moses and Elijah. As simple as that. If they are going to take it from the Gentiles to the Jews, where will the ministries be first? Well, among the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the third pool. And in the third pool, there will be a great manifestation under a great tent cathedral. And the miracles and wonders are for the ministries of Moses and Elijah. So, notice the project of a great tent cathedral. There is something great from God, which cannot be explained very much, so that the divine project is not interrupted. We already know that there is a promise of a great tent cathedral. And we work on that project. And the glory of God will be manifested because it is already promised in the scripture. In the book of the ages on page 65, it tells us, yes, there he stands amidst the lampstands with the stars in his hand. It is night, for that is when we use lamps for light. And that is when the stars are seen shining and reflecting the light of the sun. And it is dark. The church is walking by faith in darkness. Her Lord departed this earth, but the Holy Spirit still shines out through the church, giving light to this old sin-cursed world. And those stars reflecting His light also. The only light they have is His light. How dark it is. How spiritually cold. How spiritually cold. Yet when he comes, remember, this would be part of yesterday's. Yet when he comes into the mist, it is light and warm. And the church is empowered and through him does the works that he did. Through whom? Through him. The works that he did are done. Oh, that we might get a glimpse of him as did John. What manner of people we ought to be standing before him at that day. And there he drew a cornerstone. And the ages. And he goes on to say, every day we will work more encouraged in the work and in the divine project of a great 10th cathedral. We will work wholeheartedly with divine love, with love for Christ, not because we are being forced, but because God has awakened our spirit. There in front of that book of the ages, he writes, speak the word, and I will perform it. Speak the word, and I will perform it. Let us stand. And that song that speaks about the Lord to guide each of his children. It says, wherever you lead me, I'll follow you. And whatever you tell me, that is what I'll do. Serving you is my life, O God. Let me reach the end. Is that what it says? Wherever you lead me, I'll follow you. Wherever you take me, I'll be there. And whatever you tell me, that is what I'll do. Because it is the church. She is the meet help of the Lord. Serving you is my life, O God. Let me reach the end. Let us ask the young lady, Elianai, Mariel, to come up to the front and sing that song. And in that way, we can sing that song to then prepare ourselves to receive this message, God performing his word for today. May he guide us in all the steps of our life on this earth, however many we have left. May he be in our lives, guiding us at all times, and taking care of us and protecting us from all danger. You are my Lord.
hasta el final. Omnipotente y fiel.
In the message, Works is Faith Expressed tells us on page 39, God, to the Pentecostal Church of this day, the restoration of the gifts. May, Lord, those men, maybe some of them present here, some of them hearing the tape around the world, may they realize that this is the calling out of the bride, not a Pentecostal message. The Pentecostal message was to restore the gifts back in the church. But this is the calling forth of the bride. Another message that was to come just before Sodom was to be burnt. Let them understand, dear God. Faith, I believe this, because it's revealed by your Spirit through the Word of God and has been vindicated and made manifest to the whole world. Certainly, Lord, in the minority, always your groups are that way. And there he writes, this is the calling out of the bride, not a Pentecostal message. But you said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. So I pray, God, that man will look away from their intellect. And there he writes, intellect. Look away from what they might think is right. And look into the Scripture. And he writes, to look into the Scripture, to look into what the Reverend William Branham, the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, brought us, to look into the Scriptures, into the Bible, regarding what would be God revealing himself to his church at this time, and see there who you are. See yourself in the mirror of the Word. And it was spoken last night. Let the people here think like the queen did in the days of the great destruction of Babylon. She said, there is a man among you named Daniel. Was in your father's kingdom. The Pentecostal father was in his kingdom. And he is a dissolver of all doubts. And now, Lord, let the Holy Spirit that was in the Pentecostal kingdom, the kingdom that was Martin Luther's, was John Wesley's, and on through the John Smith and Alexander Campbell, and down through the age, he is the dissolver. He dissolved the thoughts. And the people in that days of Luther, that man, they just should live by faith. The Methodist, he dissolved all the doubts that they should be sanctified. And in the days of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues, give the manifestation of the Spirit by divine healing, and so forth. It dissolved all doubts in the Pentecostals' heart. But, oh God, they denominated. They went right back out to take man's ideas. Therefore, now when the bride is being called, as you've promised in here, in the Scripture, reading it before the world, night after night, and we watch it with our eyes, God, may it dissolve all the doubts in the people's heart. May they flee quickly to the open sun, to be ripened, to be taken into the garner, and not be left in the stalk to be burnt. But may they go to the garner tonight. There on the left he writes, human ideas. May they flee quickly to the open sun. Remember the subject, the two olive trees, and it is through that sun that the oil comes, the Holy Spirit comes. God performing His word for today. We leave with us immediately with this subject, God performing His word for today, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.